But I want to get into the Word. How many love your Word? All right, you're getting better with that question. Great. I want to share with you today a message that I entitled Unleashing the Power of Faith. I think Rob was reading my notes when he was talking about the offering, and he was talking about we've all been given a measure of faith, and we have to stand and operate in that faith. But I want to share this message with you because I believe that faith, I know that faith is a major factor in prompting and in having God move in such a great dimension in our lives. But here's the situation. Be very honest with you. We've all been there, myself included. In the process of releasing and unleashing our faith, depending on the situation, determines on how much or the ability that we have to release that amount of faith based on what the outcome would be. Meaning, if it's something small, we can believe great that it's going to happen. But if it's something big, we have an issue that's like, oh, I'm really not too sure about that. Let me say this. You get a cold. You get the sniffles. Your temperature goes up to 99.2 degrees. So you have the faith to say, God, please heal and stop the sniffles. Break that slight elevated temperature in my body. Now, we can all believe for that, right? Right? Because what does the Word say? The Word says in 1 Peter, and the Word says in Isaiah, that it's by the wounds on Jesus' back that we are healed and we are set free of infirmity and sickness and disease, right? So we can believe for the cold. But here's the problem. When it goes something beyond pneumonia, it could be something that could be possibly terminal, all of a sudden we're like, oh, I don't know if I can believe that. You see what I'm saying? I want to stir something within you today to release and unleash your faith, that measure that is within you, to believe for the cold or to believe for cancer. How about this? We have enough faith to believe that God, oh Jesus, I'm so alone. God, I need a mate. I don't need a mate, I'm married, but I don't need a mate. We're taping. I gotta preface some of these things. I don't need a mate, but you might be alone. I need a husband. I need a wife in my life, and oh God, I believe that you'll bring me the right person. You have enough faith for that. But you're in a relationship that's gone sideways. And I understand some things can be, you know, can go real bad, and so you gotta do certain things. But we don't have enough faith to say, God, you ordained this. So God, therefore, my faith in you says you'll restore what's broken. Right? God, you blessed me with a quiver full of arrows, and two of those arrows went sideways. God, I praised you, and I worshiped you, and I prayed for those arrows, and two have gone off course. They got ricocheted. So God, I have faith that you'll bring them back to the fold and restore them. That's the kind of faith God wants. Or how about this one? Man, I got this bill in the mail. Okay, Lord, I know that you'll provide for this bill, this cable bill, this Verizon bill, this T-Mobile bill, this Sprint bill. God, I believe you'll provide for the finances for that, right? So we believe God will meet the need there, right? But we don't have enough faith to say, God, I give my complete tithe and offering unto you today. I didn't get no amens on that one. One or two. We have faith that God will financially bless us, but we don't have enough faith to say, God, I know that what you have given me is a blessing from you, the great provider, so therefore I will give my full tithe back unto you this day. See, God wants you and I to release the faith that is within us like never before. Because the reality is, you and I have it within us. When you and I have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we had faith to believe Jesus. Like Robin said earlier, because he stole the notes off my page, in Romans chapter 12, it says that each and every one of us, in the third verse, has been given a measure of faith. We have it within us. It's not the same faith that we have that when we receive Jesus. It's beyond that. It helps us to understand the principles of God, the standards of God, the attributes of God, the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit that He has for us to operate and to walk and to function in them. We got to unleash them. We have to unleash them. The Bible says, go ahead and put Mark up, and Mark the 11th chapter. Jesus says this. He says, listen, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Faith does not doubt. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes. See, faith believes. Faith trusts. Faith is convinced. Faith knows beyond the shadow of a doubt. That's faith. And believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. See, in Colossians it says this. Go to Colossians. As therefore, and you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him, built up in him. This is where your faith gets strong. This is where your faith grows. It does not grow separated from the presence of God. It does not grow from being disconnected from the presence of God. It does not grow from being disconnected from the Word of God in any way, shape, or form. It says that to be built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you will accomplish today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat real quick. So I got to share this message of unleashing the power of faith. And when I talk about unleashing, what I'm really telling you and telling myself, I don't know if you guys know this, but I preach to myself too up here. I'm preaching to myself. I don't just say it to you. I'm preaching to myself. And so when I say unleash, what I'm saying is that we have to have the ability to break those things that restrict us from stepping out. See, what happens is we believe, and all of a sudden we're believing and we're walking by faith. But then all of a sudden, sometimes, just sometimes, we get to a point where we're like, whoa, you want me to step, but I don't feel like a swimming pool. I don't feel the ground beneath my feet. God, you're stretching me. The problem is not being unleashed means I'm restrained right here. Something is holding me back. Something is attached to me that won't let me step the next step into faith, into the release of the faith that's within me. And God's saying, you know what? I want to break the restraint. I want to break what's holding back you from walking and living and breathing in a faith-filled life. So God's saying, listen, we're going to unleash it today. We're going to break the hold that has held us back. Because like I said earlier, and many of us will say, well, I don't have enough faith. You do. You do. You have a measure of faith. You got to strengthen it. How many people go to the gym? Raise your hand up high. Don't be shy. Y'all go to the gym. All right, the rest of you? I love going. I don't know if I love going to the gym more to people watch or to run on the treadmill. I still like the whole people thing is watching, you know. But faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you do what is needed, like muscles, it gets stronger. It gets bigger. And I went to school with an individual that, honestly, when he graduated, if he weighed 130 pounds wet, that was a lot. Then he went off to the Army or the Marine Corps. And like 4 years later, he came back and I had run into him. And I looked at him and he was not the same guy. His pencil arms were like jacked. His real small neck was like this, and he had these muscles coming down to his shoulders. I'm like, whoa, dude, what's up? Because he worked out. He worked out, and he got those muscles stronger. He got those muscles in tune. He got those muscles doing what they were designed to do, and that's the same thing with our faith. We have to, you know, grow our faith. We have to exercise our faith. We have to develop the faith within us, that when we get to that point of being on the edge, we have the ability to take the next step, and the next step after that, and the next step after that. See, but here's the issue. Many times, we live by what I would call two types of faith. One not so good, and one that will bring a blessing and the heavens to open and an outpouring into your life like never before. See, the first type of faith that I'm talking about that we need to really think about and say, not really too sure on this one. Anyone ever know Thomas in the Bible? Y'all know Thomas? Real positive guy, wasn't he? Real outgoing, spoke truth. You know, was very like, yeah, you know, I don't need to see it to believe it. You know, if you just say it, Jesus, it's all good with me. No, it's actually the opposite. See, Thomas, he had what we call, go ahead and pull that up. He had what we call the sense knowledge faith. I'll only believe it if I see it. There's a problem, though. Do you know the story? Well, here's the story if you don't. See, Jesus dies, and he goes to the grave, and he's resurrected, and they all come back. Like, we saw him. We saw him. They're probably dancing. We saw him. Oh, my God, Jesus is here. And, you know, amazing Thomas, who's just full of zeal and excitement and positivity, he's like, no, he's not. He's dead. And he's still in the grave. And they're like, no, he's here, he's here, he's here. He's like, no. Until I see him, until I, hands in the, fingers in the holes, I don't believe it. So what he's saying is, unless I can see it, unless I can touch it, unless maybe I can even smell the presence of Jesus, maybe he had that aroma of heaven about him, I'm going to have an issue believing. But the problem is, if we live by that type of faith, we're going to have an issue in our own lives. Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 1 through 3, go ahead and pull that up. It says this. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, that just throws out everything about Thomas, if you think about it. Unless I see it, I'll believe it. Here's the deal. Let me put it in the natural. I still believe that we can have a Super Bowl team in Buffalo. Now, some of you are looking at me crazy. Do you want to know why? Because I see into the reality of things that have not come to pass yet, hoping, believing, praying, fasting, dancing before the Lord in my Zuba pants and hooded sweatshirt, that the unseen will come to reality. But if I'm looking at the team that plays tomorrow, Lord have mercy. In the natural, what I've seen leading up to this point, we all know who rolled into town. Two names, Gronk and Brady. We know, we saw what rolled into town. Now, all of a sudden, I can have a, well, I'm really not sure about going to the soup. But see, if I look at it in the natural, then I have a wishy-washy. That's why I can't look and say, if I touch it or see it or smell it or hear it, I'll only believe. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen yet. It's the substance, because faith has substance and has a spiritual force in it. Substance meaning the thing that we stand on. Substance meaning the tangible presence of something that I'm standing and anchored to. It's the essential part that will validate my belief and it's significant to who I am. That's the substance that I'm standing on within me, because there's a measure in me and it's a force to be reckoned with, because it's the strength in me that's released through me that brings about an action or a reaction from God Almighty. So faith is. And so we need to understand that we can't be moved and live in sense, knowledge, faith. But we have to go to a beautiful passage of scripture in the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. This is the centurion, because this is the type of faith that he had. He had the faith that is known as word knowledge or word faith, because he says this. He goes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, my servant has got some serious issues. I mean, some serious issues that could actually lead to death. And Jesus is like, well, we'll go to the house. And he's like, oh, Jesus, you don't need to go to the house. You just need to say the word. When you say the word, I know and believe he'll be made whole. See, it's not just any word, but it's the word of God. It's the word of Jesus. It's what the scripture says. It's what the Holy Spirit is sent to say to you and I. It's those words that we stand on that build our faith, that strengthen our faith, that takes our faith to new levels, that when we get to the edge, we can say, get thee behind me, let me walk out here in the unknown of where I'm supposed to be, walking by faith and not by sight. Right? So, it's not sense-driven, it's word-driven. And I said all that to get to this point today. And I want to give this to you in the few moments that we have. Because I believe that if we're going to develop and we're going to unleash the power of our faith, the most important thing that we must be anchored to and figure this thing out and be anchored to and locked into, this is all off the word. It's all off the word. Our faith must be based off of what the word says. It must be based off what the word declares. It must be based off what Jesus said and what God said and what the Holy Spirit said. And it has to be here. If it's anything other than this, we're going to have issues. We are. Take it from me. I've been down that path multiple times. I say that I've been studying and reading a lot of the stuff from the fathers of the faith. The Kenneth Hagins, the Kenneth Copelands, the daddies of the faith who to us now seem super, super old. But they're the daddies of the faith. And what they say and what they speak has such depth and such meaning. Not that all the new pastors are not there. I'm not saying that. But there's something sometimes about that. And see, if we're going to unleash, if we're going to develop our faith, we need to understand it's linked to the Word. It's linked to what God says, what God declares. And so, how do I begin to develop this? How do I begin to unleash, break those restraints, move forward in where I need to be? It's very simply this. The first thing is you and I must make the written Word and the spoken Word of God a priority. A priority. A priority. Amen. How many people? No, I'm not going to ask that question. Forget that. Y'all comfortable? Yeah. Not preaching hard enough. We have to make it a priority. Here's the deal. You know, I meet with different people, and I talk to different people, and if they're going through something or they're not going through something, usually in our conversation, I'll try to bring up, you know, hey, how you doing with your word? How you doing, you know, reading your Bible? How you doing, you know, studying, getting before God? And it's amazing and shocking. On 50% or so people were like, well, you know, I kind of got busy, and, you know, I kind of, life started to get, you know, I started doing life, and well, the issue is that if we're not doing the Word, then we're going to have a faith issue. See, because I believe that it's really not a faith issue, it's a Word issue. Because it's in the Word you discover who Jesus is. It's in the Word you discover the attributes of Christ. It's in the Word you discover who the Holy Spirit is and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the Word that you understand your freedoms. You understand your rights. You understand all those promises that were written for you. You understand that it's in the Word And so it's really not a faith issue, it's a word issue, because if I don't know the word, then I don't know what goes with the word. I don't know what God has for me. I don't know who Jesus is. And so if I don't know who Jesus is, how can I trust him? How can I believe in him? How can I have faith in him? How can I place everything that I am in a person I know nothing about? Right? So it's really not so much a faith issue in the sense it's really more of a word issue. And so for me to unleash my faith that's within me, my measure, I got to know the word to be able to stand on the word, but I got to make it a priority. Let me give it to you in the natural. Some of you know me really well. Better than some of you should know me. Some of you don't know me at all. Now, if I were to say something up here, some people who know me real well would be able to say, that's going to happen. That's going to come to pass. He will do everything that he says because they know who I am. They know my character. They know everything about me. They spent time in my presence. We spent time together and multiple things. But those who don't know me would be like, yeah, I'm really not sure. That kind of seems far-fetched. I really don't, can he really do that? And the reason is because you don't know me on that level yet. Notice I said yet. Yet. Have me over to dinner. I like chicken McNuggets. I like pizza. It's got to be gluten-free, though, or I'll sneeze all night long. I don't know why, but every time I eat that, I just sneeze. Do you see what I'm saying? That's no different in releasing the faith that we have in God. The word must become a priority in my life. It must become number one. It must be the authority on which I live by, in which I stand by, in which I act by. Because the word will cover every situation, every scenario that you and I will walk through in life. It will. If you got relationship issues, it's in the word. If you got financial things you're walking through, it's in the word. If you feel unloved, read about God's agape love. It's in the word because it's for you. If you feel like you're a nobody, the Bible says you are a somebody. You're a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. It's in the word. You got to understand, it's all in the word. But you can't walk by faith if you don't know the word because you don't know Jesus. Priority number one to unleash your faith is to know the word and make it a priority. And so we do that through the study of the word. But also we do it in step number two is that we must meditate on the word. Everyone say meditate. Meditate. Some of you just got freaked out in church because I said you need to meditate. Y'all went new age on me real quick. Like, crystals, oh my gosh. I'm not talking meditate like that. Meditate is from the beginning of time. In the word, it talks about meditation. Meditation is the focus of our thoughts, of our mind, and who we are on that specific thing. And so what we do is we focus our thoughts, our energy, all that we are on the word. We have to meditate on the word of God. See, because it's a priority, so therefore I meditate on it. All right. If we spend more time on fantasy football apps than the word, it's not a priority. If we spend more time on TMZ than the word, it's not a priority. We spend more time on Fox News, CNN, CNBC, Channel 7, 2, 4, 11 out of Toronto, CFTO TV, if we spend more time on that than we do the word, it's not a priority. We got to meditate. We got to focus. We got to dial in. See, the meditation of the word and the words of God helps build the capacity for faith. Because the word says that in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you hear the word of God when you meditate on the word of God because you're reading it and the word is alive and it's active and it talks to us and it encourages us and it speaks to our spirit man. And so we're hearing the word of God, but you also hear it through preachers and teachers in your small group on a Sunday morning, in your Sunday school class, on your podcast, on your SiriusXM when you put the pastor on. You hear it that way, but you know how else you hear the word? You hear the word through your own confession of what the word says. You got to understand that. See, because Our mind says that I'm to be in the back. But the word says I'm the head and not the back. So I say, God, your word declares I'm the head and not the back. I'm to be above and not below. So I'm speaking God's word. I'm struggling. I feel like I'm going to fall short. No, God, your word says that I can do all things because you, God, and your Holy Spirit will give me the strength to get through the situation. So what I'm doing is I'm speaking the word. I'm speaking it out. Listen, I'm not naming and claiming in the sense of, you know what I mean? Because we've been through that back in the day. Namers and claimers, and it was nothing more than naming. I'm standing on the word of God because it's a priority, and I'm meditating on it. And God, you said this about me, and I'm going to speak it out. So I'm hearing it again. And as I hear it more, and I begin to see what's happening, my faith is being built. And when my faith is being built, the restraints are coming off. And if you notice, I'm walking out here, and I'm not up there anymore because I stepped into the unknown where God wants to take me. And so we must meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. Study the word. Speak the word. Confess the word. It's important. I'm not calling him out, but our bass player, he comes to me the other day at family night, and by the way, family night is awesome. I'm going to tell you right now, you might see a little girl I'm going to bring in here on some of these Sundays to wind you guys up. She's a first grader. She's actually our bass player's daughter. This little girl's on fire. So I'm about to have a Jesus dance party on Wednesday night, right? And it's part of Wednesday nights. I always have a Jesus dance party. And I'm like, who wants to dance for Jesus? And she's like, yeah. Jumps out of her chair. Yeah. Like, by this. Ah. I'm like, you want to dance for Jesus? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, get on the stage with me. You ready? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to bring you into the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, honey. Get this place all turned out. You know, whoa, this is all about Jesus. And so, here's how important to hear the word is. He says, Pastor, he says, you got the Bible on CD? I'm like, yes, I do. The dramatic version. And Jesus was in the boat. And the waves and the wind. You know, where you hear the sound. And it's James Earl Jones talking to you. And you just want to melt because of his voice. And God stood up. And he spoke into the ocean. Right? You know what I'm talking about? The good version. Not that one like, and God stood up and, no, you know what I mean? Because you know what he said? He says, I got a longer drive to work. And so I want to fill myself with the word of God.
Yeah.
See, you want to unleash your faith? You got to fill yourself with the word. You got to make a priority. But then we get to this part. Priority? We're filling ourselves with it. Well, what do? We got to act on it. No, Pastor, please. Yeah. We got to step out and actually act on what the word says. James 1 and 22 says, do not just be hearers of the word, but become doers of the word. And that's what we have to do. We got to actually begin to do it. The Bible says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to love them in such a capacity. Some of you right now are trying to shut down on me. No. That person who will not say hello to you, who will turn their head every time you walk up the driveway and pretend they didn't see you, the one who yells when your kids are playing on their lawn, that's not me. The one who you know, does all those things, you got to walk over and you got to love them with the love of Christ. Why? Because the word says so. You want to grow your faith and stretch your faith and exercise your faith, step out and do what the word says. We must become doers of the word. There is such a blessing in doing the word. There is such a blessing in doing the word. More than we can even imagine. More than we can even imagine. It's a priority. I'm meditating. I'm hearing. I'm listening. I'm speaking. I'm confessing. But now I'm doing. And then it just takes me to this. I need to then actually live it. I need to live life by faith. Not by what I'm seeing. But I also need to live it by releasing agape love of God. The unconditional love. I'm walking life without looking. Now, when I say not by sight, and I'm saying not looking, we're aware of what's going on in our surroundings. We're not being naive to the sense where, like, you know, because we can say, well, I was walking by faith, and, you know, God told me to jump off that bridge that was 200 feet into that 4-inch thing of water. No, God didn't tell you to do that. God's a God of life. He's not a God that's going to have you do stuff like that. So we have to use common sense and wisdom, because God will give you the wisdom. Proverbs talks about that, right? Wisdom to make the right choices. That's not a good choice. You ever make a poor choice? You're like, oh, I really thought I was supposed to do that, right? Yeah, I thought I was supposed to jump off a giant cliff when I was in Tulsa at Tent Killer. You ever been there? No? This place out in Tulsa, it's all these big cliffs and places, and they would jump off in these things, and there's a 100-foot one, and the guy in my wing thought it would be great. He was going to go first. I'm like, okay, go. I'm on the bottom. Yeah, you got this. I'm like, maybe I'll try that. Well, he jumps. In the process of jumping, his body, instead of going this way, kind of goes out this way. And next thing you know, by the time he gets to the bottom, bam, he's on his back doing the nasty plunge from about 100 feet. I'm like, yeah, God definitely wasn't telling me to jump off that. So we can't say, you know, we got to use wisdom too when we walk by faith. And everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that God wants you to do will line up with his word. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's probably not God speaking to you. Okay? If you can't find confirmation in the word, don't do it. Don't do it. If someone says, God told me, brother, I got a word God told me to tell you, that you are to give me the keys to your Mustang. Really? God really told, if God told me, if God was going to tell him, he would have confirmation from in his spirit, man, and he would have other confirmation. Do you have it yet?
Stored.
Okay. I'm still waiting. Sweet ride is God. But so we got to live by faith, and we got to release that love. And so that's how we begin to develop and unleash the power of our faith that's within us. You all have a measure. We live by faith, not by the sense knowledge or the senses, but we live it by the word. The word is important. We make it a priority. We meditate on it. We act on it, and we live by faith and not love. And so y'all got that? All right, let's stand to our feet, because I want to speak this to you real quick before I pray with you. So as you become faith releasers today, as we wrap this service up and you walk out of this feeling like a spiritual giant, ready to release the measure that's within you, ready to make the word of God a priority, ready to meditate on it tomorrow. You're going to go home today, and you're going to begin to set a time to get up early in the morning before you do anything else. And you're going to say, God, you get this amount of time. You get this amount of time, God, before I do anything else. Or maybe you're not a morning person, you're a night person. God, before I put the TV on, you're going to get this amount of time. You're going to set a time aside to meditate, to focus, to put your thoughts and your heart and everything into the word of God. And then you're going to hear what the word would speak to you. You're going to go find four other pastors on podcast or on the internet to watch other than SCC. That is not your church that you just do, because there's something the word says that we're not to forsake gathering, but it will help you continue to grow, continue to feed yourself. Do you only eat dinner on Sunday afternoon? You eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So why did I say that? Because during the week, you got to eat on the word. The word that you're reading, you're studying, and possibly the word that other pastors would be speaking into your life. But that's not your church. This is your church. This is where you attend. This is where we gather. So we set that. We get those going. And we make it a priority. And then we speak the word's confession, so we hear it again. And then once we get to that point, then we're doing it. We're stepping out. And we're seeing all those things around us. We're not affected in the sense that we live by sight, but we live by faith. Not by sight. And then we release to God's love. And so when you become that releaser today, here it is. Understand this, as your faith begins to please God. Because speaking, the faith that pleases God speaks of things that are not as though they are. And when seeing the circumstances surrounding them, they don't allow it to have any type of effect. That's the faith that pleases God. It firmly stands and it walks on the promises of God. Faith that pleases and moves God, believes God will perform everything that His Word has declared. It's God's Word that has the authority, and we release the authority and the fullness of Jesus in His name. And faith that pleases God will never relent. It will never become abandoned. It will never become less intense in us. And so if you have a faith issue today, I want to pray for you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to call you forward because I don't want anyone to be embarrassed or feel the eyes of the religious folk judging you. And religious folk, if you're judging people, then let me pray for you too. But, you know, I'm not going to call you down today because I don't want you to put you in that position. I'm really sensing that today. I'm also sensing that there's someone who's been dealing with a bleeding issue and you're having a real big problem with it. We know the Word says that the woman with the issue of blood was healed by touching the hem of the garment. And today I want to encourage whoever that is. And if that's you, I want you to, after service, if you would come see Pastor Shirley, come down and wave your hand, Pastor Shirley, so they know who you are. One of the mamas of the house here. Come see her. But I want to pray for that as well. All right? Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your Word. God, I thank you for everything that you've done in this house. Father, I thank you that you've stirred us, that you've encouraged us, that you challenged us, that you poked us, that you began to push us to the edge of our comfort zone regarding our faith. God, we all have that measure within us, and the time has come to release it, to unleash it into our everyday life. So God, this day I pray that those who are struggling to live by faith and not by sight, those who are struggling to go beyond their comfort zone, God, that you would help us to realize that it is necessary to know you and to know your Word. That it must become a priority in every decision, everything that we do in life. Father, help us to set a time aside to make it that priority to study, to meditate, to hear, to listen, to speak what your Word declares. Father, push us and strengthen us to become then doers of what we're supposed to be doing. Even today I spoke of missions, different ideas of stepping out and ministering. Father, it's by faith we live, and it's the love that you've loved us with that we release to those around us. Father, I thank you for today's service. I would pray that you would strengthen those who feel weak, that you'd bring joy to those who feel sad. I pray, God, the healing touch of your hand upon the bodies in this house. Touch their minds, touch their physical bodies, their ailments, whatever they may be going through, God. It's by faith in you. And what your Word declares is by your stripes, we speak that healing touch this day. Father, I pray for those, Father, who are going through a difficult time financially, that God, you would do a new work, that you would do a new thing, that you would open a window of opportunity, a blessing to be poured out into their lives as they search you and seek you and do all that is necessary to move forward. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go this day, traveling mercies upon us. Father, let this Word not go dim in our spirit, man, but let your Holy Spirit continue to water the seeds that have been planted this day. That God, we become warriors of the faith, not being held back, but warriors moving forward, advancing the kingdom of God here on earth. We love you and we honor you. We bless you. We say thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. We're going to leave the altars open for prayer. For anyone who needs prayer, we'll have the elders and the prayer team come down and pray with you. If not, God bless you. Next week is the conference. Great things in the bulletin. You got to check the bulletin out. New class is starting. Bishop Tom has a blog or a newsletter you can sign up for to get that. Cafe Sunday. If you didn't put your order in, I'm sure we have enough. Just go on back. If not, someone should share with you because we want to love everyone and to care about one another. But have a safe week, and we'll see you soon.